and they're not telling us, and they're telling us really what's on their mind off the top of their hat. Then we ask them this question, do you plan to vote in the Democrat or Republican primary? And even though we already ask, you know, the question of the candidate, what candidate they plan to vote for, we still ask that Democratic or the Republican primaries. And we found early in the game that about 54, I almost didn't believe it, 54% of the people up there were going to vote Republican, which was a big drop, you see, which made it about a 46% Democratic vote in East Tennessee. And that was pretty hard for us to believe early in the campaign, but it turned out just about that way in the campaign in the fall. And it turned out about that way in the primary, it looks to me like, from what I can see, about 54 to 56% voted Republican in the Republican primary.
So was there's that a reaction, in your opinion, was that a reaction to the Dunn administration and the problems, certain specific issues affecting East Tennessee, or is that more a historical shift?
I think it's a combination, which is maybe it's a part of the negativism that's kind of developing across the country. A lot of people, those things that they were for, they're now changing, you know, and maybe that's a part of it. I don't know. They were traditional Republican in that region. There was a combination of the Republican Party, Nixon, and so on, plus Dunn. Here's another factor. I believe that the Republican Party, since they had not had a governor for what was a hundred, how long was it in this state? I'm not sure. Many years.
1920, I think. I'm not sure.
East Tennessee has not had a governor in 50 years. And they had been always supporting the Republican Party, of course. I believe that the Republicans in East Tennessee felt as soon as they elected themselves a governor, all of a sudden they will have reached the promised land, that the governor was going to be able to just do everything they wanted, and that all of a sudden East Tennessee would get the kind of services they felt like that they ought to get, that the reason they hadn't gotten them in the past has been because of that so-and-so Democratic Party who was just not willing to give them those services because they hadn't given them the votes. And then when they elected themselves a governor, for some reason or another, they didn't get those services. They didn't get what they expected, and no one ever does. He may have been the fairest governor, as fair as anybody ever was for East Tennessee. I don't know. And yet, on the other hand, West Tennessee expected nothing. And whatever they got was a plus. So West Tennessee was very happy with Dunn, where East Tennessee was very unhappy with Dunn. So I think it's a combination of several points. I don't think it was any one point, but I think it was a combination of the fact that they had never had there been a Republican governor before, and had they experienced, at least in the last 15 or 20 years, had they experienced a Republican leader and recognized the fact that he couldn't deliver them everything, that they may have felt differently.
Do you think the perception then of Alexander as a Republican was stronger than of Alexander as an East Tennessee?
Yes, I do.
You think Butcher would have run better in East Tennessee than Alexander?
Yes. We would have carried East Tennessee with Butcher.
He swept it in pretty much, except
yes,
for the
right.
Hamilton County complex.
That's correct.
Complex.
Mm-hmm. But we would have carried East Tennessee, in my opinion, in the fall. Of course, that's all hopeful thinking maybe on my part, but we had a fairly good organization throughout that part.
How would you characterize these six states? I mean, just a summary analysis of where they are politically and out of where they've come and where do you see them heading, the ones you've worked in and are familiar with.
Okay. I think that you'll have to say, if you take Massachusetts out of the ball game, that they are a little more liberal than the majority of the states.
But taking each one individually.
Each state? All right. Well,
each of the six. They're sort of compare and contrast.
each of the six. All right, I'd say that the most progressive or the most liberal of those states is Arkansas. The and then I'd have to say that probably I'd have to say that maybe Louisiana's next. The northern part of the state of Louisiana is—it's a very interesting thing. It's a very conservative area, and it appears to be more southern, more conservative than the southern part of Arkansas. And they, you know, they're right there together, obviously. And it appears that the lifestyle is somewhat the same. The kind, their income is somewhat the same, same types of income and so forth. But it appears to me that the northern part of the state is much more conservative than the southern part of the state of Arkansas. So I'd have to say that Louisiana would be next because of the southern part of Louisiana being quite liberal. They've changed considerably, I think, in the southern part of Louisiana in the last few years, particularly around the New Orleans and
Baton Rouge. You're talking about liberal in terms of race and economics?
Yes, right. When I say liberal, too, I don't mean ultra-liberal. It depends upon what you call liberal.
In your use of the term liberal here, do you also mean moving in that direction?
That's correct. Then I'd have to say that probably...
Then does that mean you see that, you know, the next governor of Louisiana after Edwards then presumably should be able to succeed himself with
yes.
that trend?
Yes.
And more governors in that mold?
Yes. I see more governors in that mold throughout the entire six-state area. You've had
an interesting thing happen in Tennessee. Let me go ahead and answer this question,
sure.
And I'll get on to that. I think that, as I said, Louisiana's next, and I think probably Mississippi is next. In that with that same basic attitude, that would be a toss-up between Texas and Tennessee for next year.